Hi, I'm Joe, and I want to tell you about a program that has been a real surprise for me. Now, I don't normally listen to or even care for religious programs, but these two guys are different. The program's called Ask the Pastor, and has a team of co-hosts, Pastor Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons. Pastor Charles is a writer and helps people who are troubled when they call in and they need someone to talk to. Jim works a regular job and also volunteers listening to and helping others. It's not what you expect from a religious program. They're Christian, they teach the Bible, and they talk about things that are going on in the real world. And more than that, they listen to people and they talk with them, not at them. As I said, the program is called Ask the Pastor, and you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday night. I think you'll be really surprised.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening, and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, your co-host. Are you an American, a comrade, or someone just trying to avoid being a target? Ready to join the new normal? Or are you ready to count the cost and pay the price for freedom? Today we're going to spend a little time and talk about, that's right, tithing. And remember, if you have questions, you also can send in your questions to Ask the Pastor at ask@askthepastornow.com. Well, now let's join Dr. Lyons as we begin our time together. And let's see what the Bible has to say about how we tithe our vote.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. And I thank those who are joining us this morning and enjoying the thrills of live radio, especially those of you who tune in during the actual live program. Some tune in later and hear the recording playback. And So this morning was a little bit different for you, so I thank you for your patience. Enjoying that ever-popular opening music, Sound of the Silence, that you heard briefly. But most of all, we're glad to be together. You may be a little puzzled about tithing and voting. But, you know, one of the elements of tithing that is easily overlooked is a tithing of time and energy. What do we do with our time and energy? I know people who have, you know, set up like direct debits, so their tithe always goes in faithfully. But then their own time is a different matter. They are perpetually busy. Jim and I know those people quite well, don't we, Jim? I think we're both perpetually busy. But the question is, amongst your perpetually busy time, do you know when to throw the brakes on and say, wait, this is time for worship, or this is time for prayer? This is time I've designated to study my Bible. And this may even be time that I've, you know, specifically try to focus on sharing my faith with someone. Now, always we're ready to share our faith. You know, God put someone in our path. We don't back away from that. But also, I think it's important to have the simple discipline to say, I want to make sure that I tithe. I want to make sure that I witness. I want to make sure that I pass out a gospel tract. You know, I make it easy for myself and when it comes to passing out gospel tracts because I'm basically, as Jim knows, a very shy, quiet person. And so to help push through that, I keep a supply of tracts in my car and in my home and in the office. So when the opportunity simply presents itself, I can't simply sit there and say, well, you know, I would have done it, but I didn't have a tract with me. Well, I make it a point of having a tract with me, so that's a non-issue. Well, there are also other areas that we can do that to. One of them happens to be, do you tithe your vote? And what I mean by that is when you're really tithing, what you're doing is tithing has really nothing to do with an offering. Although people may get confused in that, a tithe is the 10%. It's the tithe is that part that totally God says, that's mine, right? So you return the tithe, if you will. And you can give an offering. You can do a little something extra. So what that means is my vote my vote? Is my responsibility as a citizen to do these certain things, whether it's paying taxes or whether it's, you know, some national event that we're a part of? All these little things come together. And the question you might ask yourself is voting actually a spiritual thing? Now, there's very non-spiritual people who will be voting as well as spiritual. And it doesn't mean, you know, well, you have to put on and dress up like the Pope to walk down to the polling booth. But it does beg the question, do you recognize it as a responsibility? The same responsibility that you should be devoted to taking some of your time each day to spend in God's Word, to become a stronger Christian, to spend time in prayer, to meet with God, to speak with Him. That happens to be extremely important. And so, excuse me, while that's going on, and it really is a twofold avenue, a responsibility, if you will. And so that's what I'm talking about, the vote. Is it a responsibility? And I submit to you, as a citizen, a Christian citizen in particular, it most definitely is. And the reason I say that is because, you know, this idea of stepping up and having a part in your country, you know, that was fought for over the years. And it wasn't fought because of simple taxation. That was an issue. But what it was really down to is we wanted our freedoms. People fled to the United States for a variety of reasons, but among those were the right to be able to openly worship, the right to have the freedom to own land, the right to be able to have our churches. We forget sometimes that the British at one point burned our churches if they were in the colonials. They had, you know, you worship the Church of England or you worship nothing. And so these were very high standards. And our people were willing to risk their lives for them. There's a range of things that our American Civil War or War of Independence was fought for. And we have to realize that. So after all these years, there's still a war going on. There is a war going on as to whether or not you will be allowed to vote. And sadly, you know, there weren't that many people, Christians especially, standing up and voting prior to that. Jim, I don't know if you recall this or whether you would even agree with it, but it was my perception that in, let's say, late 50s, early 60s, to a lesser degree in the 70s, there really was an attitude that, like, Christians really shouldn't talk about government, shouldn't talk about, unless they just want to have, like, a special event where you do something patriotic, but actually express an opinion about how the government's run. It's like Christians were less than citizens. Their opinion didn't matter because it was too religious. Pretty much they were encouraged to be quiet. Do you recall what I'm talking about, or is that a little too vague at this point?
Well, I think back when I was younger, there was a different America. Things that we're seeing go on and how social media has allowed the most bizarre people to gain popularity and focus. I mean, you cannot turn on the television. Certainly one of the greatest medias that was ever invented. You can't turn it on without seeing all the nasty, dirty laundry being aired. I think it was a program that was talking about if we were invaded by Martians, that if they had been able to get our broadcast, back then it was through an antenna on top of your home that you received this, but if they were able to receive it, how bizarre and how easy it would be to conquer this nation, because we have just gone off the reservation. Is that even legal to say anymore? But
probably not.
It was a different time, Pastor. It was a time when we didn't shop on Sundays. We had a day of worship, and you were free to worship as you want to. And I just see it as just a different time. I hope we're touching on soon talking about voting, how important it is, because we see what happens when Christians don't go to the polls. All the things that we learn that Jesus stood for are not being represented properly today, and we're allowing it's I liken it unto running. You know, if you don't run for a long time, it takes a lot to get back into shape. It hurts. And I see our country in that position right now. We have strayed. We have drifted, all the words that we read about, away from absolutes. And we're saying anything goes, and there's no absolutes. And everybody ought to be free to do what they want, including terminate pregnancies. Pastor, I don't see how God can ever turn his back on that. That is out-and-out murder. And how we can condone that by not voting and not realizing which party and what platform we need to focus on, I don't understand it. Do you?
No, I don't. It's a very selfish act, and unfortunately, you know, it's the old expression, you know, the only thing necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And sometimes nothing means, well, I just haven't got time to vote, or it's too inconvenient, or I've waited too late. And that's why we're having this broadcast now. It doesn't matter, yeah. I've heard that a lot of times. People say, well, my vote just doesn't matter. That one really perturbs me, I have to admit it. I recall years ago, the Carter administration, when it took office and as they began to work, that they took a lot of ridicule on the front end, and then something seemed to change in the campaign while they're in office, maybe 9 months later. But the point being is that you would never find anybody who said, well, I voted for him. Now, I always thought that was funny. I said, the man won with a decent win. The vote was never in question. But you can never find somebody who said, oh, I voted for President Carter. And it's like because they were so angry at him at different points that whenever about anybody would say that, it wasn't popular to say you had. So simply nobody ever said they did. Now, if you say your vote doesn't matter, let me point out to you that particular year that he won, and he did win with a respectable vote, pretty much what that meant, within every precinct, he got a vote. That's right, a vote. Your precinct is the lowest denominator of political realm. In other words, that may be, like in a city like Houston, a precinct will have around 4,000 to 5,000 voters or residents in that community. So, you know, maybe that seems like a lot of people to you. You know, we're in a city that's got over 4 million people, so 4,000 to 5,000 may not initially sound like a lot. But within that jurisdiction for those multiple blocks of location, there is an elected official, sometimes appointed, but most always elected, who takes the role of trying to get the vote out for their party within that precinct. And you hear that phrase precinct, and like I say, it's sort of funny. A lot of times people don't even know what it is. But it's the lowest common denominator. It gets down to the one little section of your community, the people within that community, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, whatever, within that physical space, they constitute a precinct, and they vote together on issues, and they work on things that are at that level. Pulling teeth, that's what we usually call getting the vote out. It's pulling teeth sometimes to get people to take action. Now, we're coming up on the November vote. It's not going to be a big deal getting people to come out to vote. It is an important deal, though. And you see, here's where we get back to where my vote doesn't matter. Because some people will say, it doesn't matter if I go because there's lots of people going to vote today. Well, does it mean they're voting your viewpoint, say? So, and this is a bigger thing, when the votes are counted, if your person doesn't win, you, as far as I'm concerned, you don't care. Matter. You didn't care enough to vote, so your opinion doesn't matter. Don't bother telling me this is what I think. I think this is wrong. Really, did you vote? No. Well, then shut up. I'm sorry. It's that simple. If you didn't care enough to get into the game, then don't complain how the game was played. Don't complain whether it was won or lost if you don't join in the game. And So this, you say, well, it's a corrupt game. Really? How do you honestly know if you're not a part of it, if you don't get in and find out what's going on? And here's the reality. We put a lot of checks in play in the United States to have an honest vote. Does that mean there can't be things that could be done to try to manipulate the vote? Yes. Give you a simple example. I am a precinct chair. I called, first pulled up on the maps and was looking yesterday and from the clerk's office and just verifying that my polling location had already been established online. Once it's online, I can start doing some things. There's things I do beforehand, but it just cranks up the moment it's officially there. And I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing there is no polling location in my precinct suddenly. And I said, what a bizarre, you know, oversight. So I called my party headquarters, and I said, do you have any idea when that's going to be corrected? And they said, with great frustration, because it happens not to be the party who's currently running the clerk's office, they said, no, they are changing that map virtually every day, and it's creating a nightmare trying to staff up the locations. I said, as far as we know, they have taken yours out, and it's not going to exist this year. So they have effectively taken away a place where all my voters are expecting to show up to vote, that they have shown up to vote for as long as I've been voting in that community. And this year, that location's not even going to be there. But no communication has gone out, except if you know where to look on the clerk's office where it's buried in a bunch of other stuff. You really have to know where it's at to even see that map. And so what the alternate party is doing a very effective job of doing is eliminating the location where the people in the precinct can actually vote. It's eliminating an opportunity for the people of their opposing party to say, people, they've moved it. This is where it is. You got to go over here this day. You see, and some people on voting day, if they show up at the building and nothing's going on, they'll say, well, I've still got to get to work. I haven't got time for this. And they'll go on. And a vote didn't get cast. So can it be cheated on that way? Yes. And there's very creative things they can do. It falls back to the precinct chairs to respond, to be aggressive, to find a way to communicate that information and encourage others to get out there and take that next step. So, you know, we see it every time a foreign country gets the right to vote after years of oppression. You suddenly see people lined up around the block just for the opportunity to vote because they have been waiting to do this for years. But in America, you've had it from birth, and so you don't value it. You don't realize, unless you were brought up that this is important, you need to do this, we tend to be the laziest people on the planet when it comes to voting. And we cannot afford that luxury. You know, and if your opposing group does a better job of getting the vote out and your group just sits there whining about it, you got to give the others credit. At least they showed up and voted. And, I mean, why shouldn't they? They had the help of the press. The press is not partisan. They are very much sided to one view. Why? Because it's the view they share as an organization. So, yes, you've got a partisan election taking place. You've got a situation going on where the press corps backs up the view totally, and not, they're not reporting the news properly. And so, consequently, you're getting an odd picture. So does that mean I can't vote because I don't know? No, that means you have to vote because it matters. If people are attacking your vote, then something's going on and you need to deal with it. One of the things you do is you dig for information. You dig hard. You find people you can trust and you make sure they're digging hard too and share information. It's not enough to sit there blindly not knowing, but it's extremely important that you also find out what's going on so you are ready to vote. And you're going to take steps to make sure that you are able to vote. Jim, let me ask you something. Can you think of anything that could cause a U.S. citizen not to be able to vote?
Well, I think the first thing that came to mind was you can't vote if you have a felony. Am I right?
That's right, although sometimes those can be expunged and getting off the records if you were later, you know, found not guilty and, you know, you're released. Some people don't go back
to thinking convicted. Yeah, convicted. But yeah. No, also know that you can't vote if you...
Go ahead.
I also know you can't vote if you haven't registered.
Excellent. That was one I was aiming for. There's some other things, but that was a strong one I didn't want us to miss. Now, when can you register to vote?
Wow.
Tough questions, huh?
That is something. Yeah, well, it's a good question because we take it serious at our home and registered and participate locally. I would think the moment after election, you can vote. I mean, you can register for the next one. I mean, it seems like just about any time is. I would be hard pressed to say you have to wait till midnight on a certain day. What's the answer?
Well, all right. Election day this year is Tuesday, November 3rd. That's when the voting will actually take place. Deadline to register by mail to vote is October 5th. So that date is getting close. It's less than a month away. To register in person is Monday, October 5th. So that's how close we're getting to it. So October 5th is the key time. And if you're not registered by that date, you're not going to be allowed to vote. You've had all year. If you only voted in the presidential election, well, then you've had 4 years, and you're still waiting. What are we waiting for? Get out there and get registered, because it's really true. If you're not registered, you can't vote. And you say, well, I'm a U.S. citizen. I was born here. I should be allowed to vote. You are allowed once you register. There has to be that simple little vetting process that says, yes, you're the real deal, and get it taken care of. So as a Christian, are we so lazy that we won't even register? Or we say, well, I'm just ignorant of the process. I'm thankful that when I went to school, we had a thing called core class. Now, I'm not going to tell you I enjoyed it. I'm not going to go that far. I'm saying as an adult, I've learned to value the things we were taught there. Jim, the school you went to, did they offer a class called CORE?
I'm sorry, CORE?
C-O-R-E. C-O-R-E, CORE, yeah.
I don't recall that.
Okay. They may have used different labels. I've been surprised the number of locations when I've talked to people from different parts of the country that they don't have it. And I don't believe they even offer it any longer in the schools where I went. But it was more than simple, like, civics class, and some schools don't teach civics anymore. Civics was your government history, your government things about your government. Core class.
That's what they called it. They called it government.
Civics,
and it was a required
government
course.
Right. Civics, or rather core class, went a step further because the core class taught you how do you register to vote? What's the significance of registering? If you don't, what does it mean? What's the payout? The payout is you don't get to vote. You might as well live in a country where you're not allowed to vote if you're not going to register to vote. That's how important it is. And anybody who has left a country where they were denied the right to vote values the freedom to vote. Those are the people you see wind up going around the building in line and standing, and they're willing to stand if that's what it's going to cost because they know what it is not to get to vote. So here in America, we've got up through October 5th to make sure it's happened. It's less than a month away. And so it's already time to act. It's been time to act. And you say, well, gee, I just don't know when I'll get around to it. First of all, what you don't realize, at least here in Texas and in Harris County, where we're at, it's sort of interesting. They have, I guess I could say there's a new deputy in town. Did you know they have a title called Deputy Registrar? And what it is people who have accepted the responsibility, let me get other people registered. So they'll get and get the training to be a deputy registrar. They'd have to learn what it involves and how to register people and the responsibilities that go with it. And then once they pass their training, they are authorized to do that. And so out in your community, you're going to find people who are authorized to actually do that for you. Or you can go online and request the information. Or you can just simply go by the office, look it up, go online, and go to your registrar's office and say, I need to register to vote. And they will take care of it. You say, well, I don't even know where the registrar's office is. Well, then look up for your particular political party and ask them, how can I get registered to vote? And most likely they've got somebody who will be happy to get with you and take care of it. It's a simple little form to fill out. It's basically, you know, name, address, phone number, that kind of stuff. And it's taken care of. It's that easy. Probably won't take more than 10 or 15 minutes of your time. And then it's done. It takes longer in some cases to fill out that little form, and it's only 10 or 15 minutes to do it. And that's only because you do it so rarely, people forget how to fill it out. But it's a simple little form, and I'm saying it takes longer to do that than to actually vote, unless you got a long ballot. And so for those who have never voted before and you're registered, maybe this is your first time voting, do it with confidence. Do it with joy. Jim, here's another good question for you when it comes to voting in the United States. And I specifically go after Christians about this because we tend to get complacent or lazy and, or, you know, I don't want to get involved in all this other nonsense for answers. So let me ask you, let's say that there's 7 screens of information because you vote on a computer screen nowadays. So let me ask you, of those 7 screens, how many of those do you actually vote on? A little trivia there for you.
I don't know. I think what you're getting at is because there are elections in addition to the primary election. Is that what you mean? There are
no,
page after
I'll
page.
No, I'll make it a little clearer. I'm sorry. I realize how that could have been interpreted vaguely, so let me correct my question. Let's say there's 7 screens, and on those 7 screens, there are 20 positions trying to be filled. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So 20 positions, and in each position there could be 2 or more people, sometimes only 1,
right.
But nonetheless, 2 or more people on there. So of those 20 people that you're trying to fill positions on, how many of them do you – here's the first part of the question. How many of them do you have to vote for?
Pastor, I don't know if I'm woefully ignorant or just don't hear the question properly, but I don't know that you have to vote for anybody that you don't want to. If you wanted to leave a position blank, I think you have that right.
That is absolutely correct. And people frequently do that. Yeah, let the bells and whistles begin, okay? Yeah.
I haven't had government in how many years? 60 years?
And they probably didn't even teach that in government, by the way. But no, you don't have to vote for any of them. Well, here's another question. Should you vote for more than one? Not for the same position, by the way, but out of that positions, should you vote?
Don't forget to vote and vote often, right?
Thank you. Thank you. The voters of Louisiana, their motto out there. So what I'm driving to is that there are people who come in, and they'll do it especially on this election. They'll say, all right, there's the president. There's the vice president. I want those two. And who are these other people here? And they start working it down. They said, I've heard their name before, so okay, I'll give them a vote. And they're running for what are they? Oh, they're running for senator. Okay. Thought there's 2 of them. Oh, yeah, here's that other one, Rascal. I'll vote for him, too. And how about this? That's somebody. He wants to be in a house. I'm in an apartment. I ain't going to vote somebody to get a house. That's crazy. I don't know these other people, so, and then you scroll on past all that stuff because it looks like a lot of stuff to fill out. So I just submit my vote now, and the little flag comes up, and it's waving, so I finished. I'm a good guy. Give me my sticker to wear to say I voted, and you walk home very pleased with yourself. And then something interesting happens. Let's say that your president and vice president and maybe your senator all got elected, but you're really upset because what you just heard on the evening news is that your congressman is not in office, and that, in fact, that the Congress swung to the other party, and you're thinking, wow, this is going to be a real nightmare because they're going to be fighting each other the whole time. I can't believe why that didn't happen. Why didn't they get the Congress, too? Why was it just the Senate? And then I hope you will stop and think back and say, Well, I didn't actually vote for anybody in the Congress, so I guess, well, that wouldn't be my fault. I just didn't want to bother. And by the way, and then now they're talking about all these judges, and who are all those judges? I don't know no judge. Never met a judge, you know. There are a bunch of criminals out there. They need more judges. Okay. Here's the problem. Did you know there's two groups of judges? And one group is with one party and one is with another party. And one party, their judges, they don't exactly believe in the Constitution. What they believe in is what their political view is. They believe, very ardently that a case should just be based on the situation. And so that doesn't sound too bad, I suppose. And, maybe they said that if somebody's just been getting a bad deal in life, well, then, you can understand why he broke in somewhere and he did something. So that's about it, And there's got this other group out there. These guys said, no, we literally go with what the Constitution says. And, what it says is what we're going to do. So you go into one courtroom, the first judge I've talked to you about, if you can just sort of persuade him over to your viewpoint, he'll probably go along with you. Now, you broke the law, and the other person has lost something because what you did, you busted into their business or their home, and you trashed it, and they, but you've made your case that you've had a tough life, so you deserve a shake now. Okay? What if you were the person who owned the house or the business that this guy busted into? Wouldn't you like to think, yes, but I've been damaged, I've been violated, I need some protection. I thought I'd get in the courtroom. Not that courtroom. You need to be over in the one where the judge said, we go by the Constitution. The Constitution says you're not going to violate the law. You're not going to burst into somebody's home. You're not going to, destroy a business because somebody owns that business and it was their loss. So in other words, would you like to have an even playing field when you walked into the courtroom? That right was right and wrong was wrong. The rule wasn't sort of made up as it was happening while you're in the courtroom because it might not go your way. Well, judges are human beings, and some judges say, I will uphold the law, and some of them will say that, but they'll do their own thing. And we have two parties of judges that are absolutely doing that. And here's the question. What you say, well, why don't we get rid of the bad ones? You do, on election day. Unless you who know better don't bother voting because it's just such a long list, I'm too busy for that. And somebody else says, well, yeah, I like this kind of judge. Maybe you don't even know they're the good judge or the bad judge. You just know they're in your party, so you're going to vote your party judges. And that's how judges oftentimes wind up getting elected. It's just because you happen to be in the party that's carrying the most votes, or you're getting somebody who doesn't know you, and that works either for or against you. The point is, we even don't allow judges to campaign the same way as any other politician. So their hands are tied as how much they can communicate. So it takes it back to us, the voter, to go out and find out information about our judges and find out what do you believe and where do you stand on certain issues. Because, when you hear the answer, well, I believe this, that's one view. But if the person says, I believe what the Constitution says, this, abortion would be murder. And so therefore, that's how I have to apply it. You see, you just heard a view of a person telling you they oppose not only abortion, but they oppose it because that's what the Constitution says, not because of it's politically popular or unpopular. So you're making a choice. But guess what? In our county, all the judges who apply the Constitution did not get into office in our previous term. So we've got one group out there who totally just believes in social reform, not the Constitution, and they're in office right now. And we're paying a price for that. So as a Christian, I think it does matter how you vote. And I think you do have to look at that poll. And when I asked Jim, said about how many are you required to vote for, the reality is you could, vote for a person and walk home and everybody be patting you on the back, good job. But the question that you'll know is, did you vote for everybody you were allowed to vote for? Because if you skipped one, it was like voting for the other person. If two people are running and you don't vote for the one that you know is the best and you just skip it, then the other person just got a free vote from you, in essence. Jim, how about you? Do you feel like going into an election that you really know the people who are on the ballot box? Is that a good question?
That is the question, I think, that really needs to be asked, because the answer is as good as I think I am at studying and trying to learn some of these. Now, when it comes to judges, oh my goodness, I am so aggravated with what we have as choices. How can they be a judge when they can't even run their life? But outside of a handful of judges over my life, I know about five or six that I can probably name in just a few minutes that I know something about them. Not necessarily that I'd vote for them, but just that I would know something about them. For example, we have a Judge McSpadden. I've followed him for years, and you know, it's just I have seen the results of his judgments because I am an avid newspaper reader. But even that, Pastor, is aggravating because it's so one-sided today, and it is so anti what I believe. And so I, like most voters, don't really know where to get my information. And then I think, does it really matter who's a judge and who's not? And the answer is yes. We have a judge right now that just makes no sense. And I think I did not vote for her. And the criminal appeals, oh my goodness, we don't get exposed to criminals, do we? And so there are so many choices and so much preparation would need to be taken. And there's very few people, Pastor, that I know of that are willing to do that. Now, I'll tell you candidly, there is a publication that I follow that lists who their recommendations are. And that's another thing. This is nothing but a document trying to influence vote. But if I can understand what their platform is, then because I am a Bible student and will be all my life, I understand a lot more than I would think the average voter. So all the things you've been talking about today, I'm thinking most people are going, what is he talking about? I know the president will vote, you know, and they'll go and they'll do their civic duty just in that area, and they'll either hit the Republican or hit the Democratic, and it votes for everybody that's Democratic or everybody's Republican. It's the easy way out, and then I get the sticker. I voted. I'm a good man. And that what you find is that it's if you ask any one of them, I see there's a judge in District 23. These two judges are in District 23. What do you know about them? What do you think the answer I would get?
Probably.
That's the question.
What's a District 23? I think most people don't even know that. And again, it's. There's not a lot of advertising out there, but you can search for it on the net, okay? And it becomes a real issue if you happen to live in District 23. You know, that's important to understand. One of my favorite judges is Judge Michael Landrum here in our area. He's the 164th District Judge, by the way, to his credit, because, as I say, he happens to be a Republican judge, and pretty much lost all of our Republican judges in that last election. But he is sitting on the bench now because the governor appointed him to fill a vacancy. It was about 2 weeks ago. And so, I mean, if you have the appointment of the governor, that says a lot about your character to start with. But he's a remarkable individual, a man of great integrity. I've had a chance to have a couple of one-on-ones with him and to hear him speak. And again, judges don't campaign in the normal sense. They're not out there beating the trail and hanging door hangers on your door and this kind of stuff. But here's something you may not even realize. If you want to know more about Judge, go to your party website, your party headquarters, like Republican or Democrat or something like that. And when you pull it up, you can see their candidates, and it'll break it out by district and area. It'll give their name. It'll give their phone number. Most of the times, it's a few that don't post their phone numbers. Many of them post their email addresses. They'll put their website in there. Some put their Facebook accounts and their Twitter accounts. So if you'd really like to know a little bit more about these people, socially you've got about the same access as most people do in, you know, friends and neighbors. And again, I think most people think, oh, how would I ever meet one? I'm actually talking with Judge Landrum about having a meeting for my precinct. As I said, I am in that precinct, so I want our people to get a chance to know who he is. A precinct chair, by the way, ought to express to you, these are the people that we're trying to get elected this time within our party. And so, you know, if you're a Democrat, you want to find out who your precinct chair is because they can provide you that information. If you're a Republican, you can do the same. If you're an independent or just trying to get more information, either of those people is a candidate or a good source of information for you to start picking from. And so the information is, believe it or not, out there. Sadly, it's rarely capitalized on. But these are the people who are making the choices. You know, I wish you well. I wish you would never have a problem. But if one day you suddenly found out that, you know, I just had this bad situation yesterday evening. I got pulled over. Maybe I was involved in an accident. Maybe I was in the neighborhood when a shooting took place, and I just happened to be at the wrong place at the right time. Beyond that, I had nothing to do with it. You may be called on to go to a courtroom, or you may have not been involved in anything at all, but suddenly you're called on to go to the jury and be a part of the jury. And you don't have a clue what kind of judge this judge is. You don't know where they stand, and you're totally at their control at that moment. Wouldn't you like to think that you took the time to vote to make sure that the person in there, well, at least I know they support and protect the Constitution. I know whoever this person is, they're going to get a fair trial, and I'm a part of that process because I'm sitting here as a part of the jury. You see, it matters. These positions you think you do not know, it matters who they are. We need to know. We need to find out. I wish, you know, that I could sit here and spout off a whole list of names. Well, I could probably do that if I pulled them up on the computer. But I do at least check them out enough to find out, do they really believe the Constitution, and do they have a history of acting on it? Do they have a decent education? Do you know, in our last election, we actually elected in our county several judges. Here, a little trivia time for you, Jim. There is something about their preparation for the job of judge that they had completely neglected, but they got elected. So what was it that was missing from their education or preparation time that most people would think is important to a judge? It's something they neglected. In fact, as I said, several of them.
I'm taking a wild guess here.
Alrighty.
And it's a question I've had and have never researched, and I want to do that. I would say that what you're looking for is they didn't even have a law license. And I wonder, do I have to have one? Because sometimes I believe I would be a better judge than others because I do have a pretty foundational understanding of what is right and what is wrong. But is that the answer? They don't even have a law degree.
Pretty close, but no. They do have a law degree.
Darn.
So I'll rephrase this question to make it even easier. There's some place that they have never been.
To a courthouse.
Now you're cooking with gas. We actually elected some people. We actually elected some people, not me personally, I can assure you, to become judges who had never been to the courthouse. They've never been in a courtroom. And when asked, how are you going to do your job if you've never been in a courtroom, they said, oh, I talked to one of the other judges, said they'd tell me how to fill out the forms. Well, if I can fill out the form that says this person should die, send him to the gas chamber, you know, that's one thing. But would it be nice to know that the judge knew how to figure out if you were guilty or not? See, they never claimed to know that answer. They never claimed to know how to fill out the forms. And no, they definitely had not actually been in a courtroom. They might have watched Judge Judy sometime. But beyond that, they know nothing. They're Sergeant Schultz of the elected group. And so how would you feel about having a judge that it's their first day there, too? They say, well, this is my first time being in the courtroom, Your Honor. I don't feel bad. It's mine, too. Yeah, would that make you feel more at ease? Or I've never done this before. I think it's going to work out, though.
Can you hear it in the background? Can you hear Hogan?
Absolutely.
People aren't old enough. They don't have any idea what you're talking about with Schultz and Hogan.
Yeah. Okay. But no, really, a judge that had never been in a courtroom, you know, they barely passed their degree, but they passed, so that's to their credit. But no, they'd only done, like, you know, some reports and some help people fill out contracts and do some paperwork. They'd never even gone up to the courthouse to turn in the paperwork, let alone actually go into the courtroom to see how it operates. They've done all their legal career outside of that. And I think that's just utterly amazing. I'm not going to go to name calling, but we have a person who has a title judge in our county who, it's interesting, if you read their original advertising, it talked about, three Ivy League universities that they'd been a part of. And then I was reading the other day on their actual site where they gave the details of, you know, their history, because it's coming up on time for them to run again. And turns out that they got their basic college degree, and then they were going to go advance it, and they mentioned these are the two Ivy League schools that they had intended to go to. But the opportunity to come up to be a county judge in Harris County came up, so they just said, well, that'll just be put on the back burner because this is more important to do this work. And so that's how we got a certain judge in Harris County. I'm not going to say which way she leaneth, she will keep her mask on for you, don't worry. But anyway, you know, so it's nice to have a judge that, you know, talks of having degrees, but in fact only has the one. But there's some other schools she really wanted to go to, and so that really sways your vote. But see, if you don't check it out and find out, you are it's like you're voting for the opposing view. So I think if God has entrusted you with the power to vote, then I think part of your responsibility, as with a tithe, he has entrusted you with the amount of income from working, and you have to tithe that. Then why do you think if he entrusts you with a vote, you're not supposed to use it? I think we will all answer in countries where we have the right to vote. We will answer to God and say, what did I do with this incredible tool that you've given me where I could make my country better? Not everybody's going to accept the responsibilities of an elected office, but a lot of us are going to criticize those people in the elected offices. And then there's a smaller group of people who's going to help the right person get into that office. And I think that's something as a Christian you should think about, because does your vote matter? It absolutely does. Think of these couple of verses just to get chewing on. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you do what? That you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. Amongst our vocations as Christians, we are holy citizens. We're people who stand out, and we're supposed to live our lives differently. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And yes, I do think that includes being God's citizen, God's child, standing in his community, because it's part of your witness. Do you want your witness to be somebody who cares enough to try to make their home a safer place, their community to be a place that is more righteous than unholy? 2 Thessalonians 1:5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. If we're going to be worthy of the kingdom, we ought to do that by, first of all, being worthy of being an American citizen. You know, there's verses that speak of, I've let you rule over little things so that I can trust you now with bigger things. First thing a Christian is issued in America is his right to vote. And what are we doing about it? You know, we're issued by God an incredible opportunity to witness. We're issued by God this wonderful opportunity to pray and talk with him and seek his face and see what his word says. And a lot of times we don't read His Word, we don't pray, we don't seek His face. And we wonder why we have a difficult life. Well, if you're given the opportunity to vote and you do nothing about it, don't be surprised if your country has a difficult time. Jim, what are your thoughts about being a citizen and your right and responsibility to vote? Any comments, questions you might have about it?
I think we have a tremendous responsibility, Pastor, and I agonize over it every election. And that's the other thing. Many participate in the presidential election, but they don't participate in any of the others and frankly don't know the issues. And I think it all starts with issues. I think the first thing you have to say is, I am not happy with the way things are in this country because I have a background of understanding or trying to read and understand and seek God's face in the Bible. So once I have that, then I can recognize what the real issues are. Then be a part of bringing those issues forward and trying to elect people that agree with you that, yes, that needs to be changed. That is not godly. That is not constitutional. And we believe fundamentally that the Constitution was inspired by God. And if you don't start there, everything else doesn't really matter. So I am of the belief the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. That's my fundamental platform. Second, I believe that the United States Constitution was inspired by God. And godly, like George Washington, the painting of him kneeling before going into battle and praying, I think, and I looked up or just Googled Norman Rockwell. You remember him, the great American painter. And if you put in Norman Rockwell voting, he'll pull up so many great paintings of how important this fundamental right is. And so I think as a citizen, I owe it to my country as a patriot to find out what are the issues and how do you stand on it. And one that I am just inflamed about is abortion and gender transfer or whatever they call it. How ludicrous is that? God, you made a big mistake. I should have been a boy. I should have been a girl. God, you made a mistake. And I would even go on so far as to say racism. If I criticize another race or another person, aren't I saying essentially, God, that person doesn't matter? But then when I read it in the Bible, Jesus died for all of us. Am I not precious? Is that person I am racist against not precious? I think he is. And so there are many issues, but abortion to me is murder. And I think that if you back a party or a candidate that believes it's okay, a woman has a right to murder, and that a doctor has the right to take a life, that's nothing more than an executioner. Let me go pick a good medical doctor executioner. So I'm not popular, Pastor, in my little area because we have rights. We have rights. Who gave you those rights? If that answered your question or not, but I get heated about this stuff because the Bible tells us what we should and should not treasure. Am I right?
Absolutely. And my argument being said, if you don't take the time to find out, if you don't know, you know, then it's your fault. It really is. I know nobody nowadays, it's not popular to take personal responsibility for something. But who else's responsibility is it? If the information's out there, it's your responsibility to go and dig it out for yourself. If you don't like the way things are going on in your community, it's your responsibility to find out, how can I change it? We're saving you some time right now. You got an election coming up. You got a chance to get registered to vote. That gives you that same window of time to get more information. And come November 5th, you can cast your vote. There is a thing called early voting, by the way. I think that's sort of funny because so many people early vote that usually come election day, it's not crowded there anymore. And that's why they originally started early voting was to relieve some of the volume there. But either way, you know, you can find a time of the day to get in and vote. If you're worried about social distancing because of the plague, it's funny. I see people every day. Can't remember the name of the store now. It's a part of a chain. Anyway, I pass it going to church each day and coming home, and I see people standing out in the Houston heat, sometimes even in the rain, wrapped around the building to go in there. Trader Joe's, that's the name of it. So I see them standing out there in all kinds of weather to get in there. They're socially distanced. They're wearing their little mask, and they go in and they shop, and they come out with their stuff that they're so thrilled to have gotten. But it takes them better part of, you know, an hour just to get into the building. And I see this every day, and I'm sitting there thinking, how many people are going to say, I just can't stand in line to go vote because it's too dangerous. Really? But you go to Trader Joe's, you know. You're going to go in the grocery store, you'll have to wear a mask, and you'll have to be at a distance, you know. So why would you think you're going to get into a voting poll without socially distancing and get in and out? And by the way, for the most part, we have fewer customers. So people are going to get in and get out, especially if you just watch your time of the day. If you hit there at lunchtime, I promise you, you'll be crowded. If you hit there right at 5 o'clock when work lets out or getting closer to 7, yes, it's going to be a crowd. But you hit most of the other times, and it's just not busy. I know a lot of people that go to the polls on their way to work in the morning, and they walk in, you know, they park their car, they walk in, they verify their information, they get voted, and they're out the door in probably less than 5 minutes. You know, you're not going to do that at Trader Joe's. Nothing against Trader Joe's, but if you were going to Trader Joe's to pick something up, you'd still be standing out in the Houston heat to get into the building by the time somebody else has come in, voted, and left the building. So stop and consider. Take a little reality check. How important is it to you? Who's going to run your country as an elected official in the next 4 years, and do you feel good about it? Because as one politician campaigned on some years ago, you know, are you better off now than 4 years ago? And would you like to continue or discontinue? Think about it. Give that as part of your judge pointing exercises. Most of all, biggest decision to make, even bigger than voting, is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jim, in 1 minute, can you tell them how they accept Jesus Christ?
Absolutely. Go to the book of Romans. It's got a very short 2 verses. Chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You confess your sin, and you recognize and agree that God raised Jesus from the dead, and it says, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pastor, can they ever lose that salvation?
Absolutely not. Most important thing to remember, we didn't design salvation. Christ did. And he promised that neither life nor death nor angels, principalities or power could ever separate us from the love of God. So no, once you are saved by Christ, the very Spirit of God indwells you, you are safe and secure. So I hope you enjoyed this time. It's been a bit unusual this week, but our goal was simply to share with you the truth as Christian citizens that you need to know. God bless you, and join us next Thursday.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray. pray and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.